Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. We got a great show for you guys today to wrap up the week. Our guy Shane Jackson going to join us for his regular Friday spot, going to go over the NBA. Obviously, we had some big news yesterday with Wemby. Going to get Shane's thoughts on that and how it impacts the betting market. Also, dive into some thoughts on the second half of the NBA season. We got a couple of great games in college hoops tonight. We got a great slate tomorrow. We're going to look at some of the lines available and some of our thoughts that we have on tomorrow's college basketball slate. We will also continue our NL East previews. Yesterday, we looked at the New York Mets. Today, we dive in to the Philadelphia Phillies. Matt Horner, who's been on a tear in college basketball, going to join us as well later on in the show during Lions Day and get some of his thoughts. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any bets that you guys have for us, check us out at the BetMGM Network. You can watch the show on X, on YouTube, on Twitter as well, on TikTok. You can see some of the videos that we post after the show as well. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, you can check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get the show rolling. Glasses in session. On a Friday, we go to the Glass for Guest Line, check in with Shane Jackson, who joins us. Give Shane a follow on X at SJacksonMGM. He's a web content writer for BetMGM. Shane, great having you back on the show, man. And got some unfortunate news yesterday, obviously, with Victor Wembanyama, which just sucks. It's like, you know, NBA fans and sports fans that he's going to be shut down the rest of the season. Right now at BetMGM, the Spurs are plus 200 to make it in to the play-in tournament. Shane, do you think there's value there without Wemby? Do you want to get involved still? Do you believe that the Spurs could still make a run in that play-in tournament without one of the rising stars in the NBA?
I don't think they can make a run to the play-in tournament without Wemby. To be honest, I'm not sure I believe in this team totally to make the play-in tournament with Wemby. But right now, Dunction 3's model gives them about 11% chance of making the play-in tournament. 8% of that is number 10 seed at best, so that's your best-case scenario. I think it's more likely they lean into the tank in the coming weeks. Maybe we get a shutdown of De'Aaron Fox down the stretch, and that seems more likely to me than a play-in tournament. And honestly, it might be better for their long-term outlook, assuming Wemby is able to come back and be fully healthy next year.
What do you think of the Rookie of the Year race now with Stephon Castle likely sliding into maybe that number two role? So obviously Wemby's going to be out for the year. De'Aaron Fox is going to be the top guy. Stephon Castle's kind of emerged at number two. He's now minus 190 to win Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Do you feel like it's his award to lose at this point?
Yeah, I'm glad you started with this one, because my initial instinct was to look at Defense Player of the Year market, and then this one is the one that became even more clear, the Defense Player of the Year. I do think it's Stephon Castle's award to lose at this point. He went from plus odds to minus odds, and you're going to see his usage really ramp up in the next several weeks. He had about a 25% usage in that first game without Wemby last night. He's had a 30% usage in four of his previous six games. That role is increasing for him. That's why he's averaged about 17 points per game this month. So I expect it to be even bigger in the next several weeks, especially if the Spurs kind of lean into that youth movement and tank, as I was referring to earlier. So yeah, Stephon Castle, deserving -190 favorite. This has been a very chaotic market, but it finally feels like it's very clear and it's his award to lose.
You mentioned Defensive Player of the Year, Shane, and Wemby was the heavy favorite. He was going to win the award, but now that he's not eligible to do so because he didn't play enough games, now it opens it back up, and we got ourselves a wide-open race. Jaren Jackson Jr., -120 right now. Evan Mobley, -110. The stats are pretty comparable. Do you feel like you like one guy better than the other to win the Defensive Player of the Year, or maybe do you see value on somebody else down the board?
I think both players are deserving favorites at this point based off what you said in their resume. If I had to lean one between the two, Jaren Jackson Jr. would be my pick. That's mostly because voters really like repeat winners. I think there have been 10 players who have won multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards, and him already having won one really gives him a leg up over Evan Mobley. However, voters also really like to reward the best defense in the league. And 11 of the last previous 12 Defensive Player of the Year winners have been on a team that ranked first or second in defensive rating. And this year, that isn't the Cavs or the Grizzlies. Cavs are eighth, and the Grizzlies are seventh in defense rating. The Thunder are the best defense team in the league. They're first by a wide margin, a historic margin. So I actually think this opens the door for someone on OKC to be recognized as a potential Defensive Player of the Year. And personally, for me, I think that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I like his value the most at 30-1. He's second in the league in steals per game. Advanced metrics, he is better defender than Lu Dort. And he's someone who got seventh in Defensive Player of the Year voting last year. So voters have already recognized he's an elite defender. So I don't think he can win this award and the MVP. So maybe a parlay of SGA to win Defensive Player of the Year and Jokic to win MVP is actually the better way to play it. But I'm very tempted by 31 odds on SGA here in the next several days, because I think that is the player that I want to target down the stretch for Defensive Player of the Year.
Ooh, very interesting. Yeah, if SGA doesn't win MVP, this might be the market to look at him for some value. Shane, let's talk about the second half of the NBA, right? We've already had some games underway. We got another good slate coming up later on tonight. Who's a team that you think people should keep an eye out for in the second half of the season that you think could play some good basketball here over the next couple months?
Yeah, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are coming. Right now, they're seventh in the West at the top of the play-in tournament picture, but I could see them climbing out of the play-in altogether. This is a team that has the fourth easiest schedule down the stretch in terms of opponent net rating, so they are going to get favorable opponents down the stretch. And this is really the time that they were supposed to hit their stride. I mean, they had a lot of roster changes from a team that made the Western Conference Finals last year, and so I think there were some natural growing pains. But post-break, I mean, this is a chance for them to hit their stride. There's some real upside in the way they play offensively. They're fifth in three-point frequency. So I think they're going to climb out of the play-in tournament picture, and they're going to be a real threat in the Western Conference playoffs come summertime.
The Denver Nuggets are a team, Shane, that really interests me just because of the price at +550. They've won 9 games in a row. I get Oklahoma City's the team to beat, but they haven't been there yet. You know, this group hasn't been to a Western Conference final. They haven't won a championship yet. Just at the price and the way that Denver's playing as of late, do you think +550 that they could be worth a bet to win the Western Conference?
Yeah, anytime you have the best player in the world, you definitely have a chance of reaching the NBA Finals. I think the Nuggets were my pick to win the NBA Finals before the season, so I certainly still believe in their upside as well and to win the West. So I'm on the same page with you. It's not really about this 9-game win streak against inferior opponents either. I mean, this is a team that has been one of the best teams in basketball for the last 3 years. And if it had not been for a collapse against the Timberwolves, who I referred to earlier, in Game 7 at home, I mean, this team might have won the West last year and maybe gone back-to-back. So I definitely think there's value in the Nuggets at this point. And as long as they stay in that 2-3 seed line and avoid the Thunder to the Western Conference Finals, I mean, this is the team that I would pick to win the West if the playoffs started today.
I like it. I'm with you, Shane. I would take the Nuggets as well. Like I mentioned, pretty good slate tonight in the association. Any bets that you like for today's slate?
I like Cavaliers forward DeAndre Hunter over 13.5 points against the New York Knicks. I mentioned him last week's show as a possible sixth man of the year candidate. His first game post-break didn't go as according to plan, but his line closed at 14.5, and he went 3 of 10 of shooting. So I think this is a discount based off poor shooting from last night. And there's a chance that we see an uptick in minutes and shot attempts Cleveland is an 8.5-point favorite against the New York Knicks. So I think there's a chance he has a bigger role tonight, and better shooting gets him over 13.5 points.
All right, very good. Shane, before we let you go, obviously you do a great job covering baseball as well. Spring training's really going to get into full swing here starting tomorrow. We're starting our NL East preview, and obviously a bunch of good teams in that division. The Braves, the Mets, the Phillies, all expected to win over 90 games. Who for you is the team to beat in that division this year? Who do you think wins the NL East?
Yeah, that's the big question. If you have the answer for me, I'm glad to hear it. But, right now, I think I would pick the Braves as plus 135 favorites to win the NL East, especially after they lost their division for the first time since 2017. Nobody dealt with as many injuries as the Braves did last year, and yet this team still won 89 games and made the playoffs. Atlanta was minus 270 to win the division this time last year. This is their best preseason price to win the NL East since 2020. I understand the race is going to be more competitive and probably come down to the very end. But to me, I think you would take the discounted price on the best team in the last several years to win this division.
I like it, man. It's going to be a great race watching those three teams go at it all season long. No doubt about it. Shane Jackson, make sure you guys give him a follow on X at SJacksonMGM. Joins us each and every Friday here on Send It In, web content writer for BetMGM. Shane, have a great weekend, man. Always appreciate you stopping by. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here. And again, because of the Victor Wembanyama injury that we had yesterday, have to talk about it and dive in. Once again, the report from Shams is that Wemby has a form of a blood clot in his right shoulder. He's going to be out for the season. The Spurs believe this to be an isolated condition. Obviously, we hope that Wemby is okay. He's still just only 21 years old. The talent is off the charts. He's a ridiculously good player. So hoping that Wemby is going to be okay for the remaining years. But obviously the Spurs, what they have to deal with now for the second half of the season is they're going to be without their best player. And really everything that they do on offense and defense, Wemby is such a big part of it. They made the trade for De'Aaron Fox, which is now really huge that they did that, because they have a clear number one that they can lean on. It's somebody who's really been in that role for much of his career there in Sacramento, but they're really going to need Stephon Castle to be that clear number two, or at the very least, like, be that number two or three option every single night. He is minus 190 right now on BetMGM to win Rookie of the Year. Even before the Wemby injury, that's the way that I was trending, was to go with Castle. I was expecting him to kind of have a big second half of the season. It felt like as the season got farther and farther along, Castle was starting to get more comfortable. And he's the kind of guy that entering the league, he was like a jump shot away. You watch him at UConn and what he was as a true freshman, one of the best perimeter defenders in the country. And he was so athletic. He was great around the rim. But you could tell he needed time to develop his outside shot and get a more consistent three-pointer. Well, even in his rookie season, I think he's shooting the ball a lot better than what most of us expected him to be in year one. So if he continues that, I mean, he's going to be a really good young player for the Spurs for many years to go along, hopefully Wemby and De'Aaron Fox as well. But I think he is the guy to win Rookie of the Year. Maybe he struggles here over the next week or so and there's a little bit of a dip and we get an even better price. But I think there's a reason why here is the clear favorite at minus 190. And for me, he would be the guy to win that award. Obviously, the other award market that was definitely impacted by this Wemby news was Defensive Player of the Year. Wemby was the runaway favorite. He was a huge favorite to begin the season to begin with, and then pretty much just confirmed everything we thought coming into the year. He was going to win the award. But with the awards market now in the NBA, you have to play a minimum of 65 games. Wemby only played 49, so he is ineligible for the award. And that really now narrows it down to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Evan Mobley as the clear favorites. Now, Shane was bringing up some great points that maybe you target some guys on the Oklahoma City Thunder because they are the best defense in the NBA. You have Lu Dort there at 9-1. SGA is at 30-1. You wouldn't expect him to win MVP or Defensive Player of the Year. But Shane was bringing up a good point. If you like SGA in this market, maybe parlay him and then Jokic to win MVP. I do think it's going to come down to Jaren Jackson Jr., though, or Evan Mobley. And Shane is exactly right. In this market, voters love repeat winners. Dwight Howard won it three times in a row. Rudy Gobert has won it four times. Ben Wallace has won it four times. Dikembe Mutombo has won it a bunch. Kawhi Leonard won it back-to-back years. Usually you get repeat winners in this market, and I think voters are going to look with Wemby, who's still probably, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a multiple-time winner in this market, was going to win it this year, no question about it. Now that he's out of the equation, I think they're probably going to go back to what they normally do and vote for repeat guys, and they're probably going to look at Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, obviously, the Cavs and the Grizzlies are both having great years, but the stats for these guys are, I mean, it's ridiculous how even they are. Jaren Jackson Jr., 6 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, 1.3 steals. Evan Mobley, 9.2 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, and 0.9 steals. So Mobley has the advantage in the rebounding. They're dead even in blocks and then steals per game. Jaren Jackson Jr. just a little ahead. But because he's already won it, I would give the nod to Triple J. I think he would be a look as well. And then again, the Spurs plus 200 to make the play-in tournament. I would stay away. When Wemby was in there and we got him at plus 650 a couple weeks ago, now that was a good price. But at 2-1 now, don't think the Spurs are worth a bet in that market. All right, let's talk some college hoops, folks. We got a lot of games to dive into. And we got two on this Friday, one in the Big East, one in the Big Ten. The first one's going to be number 16 Marquette taking on Villanova. Marquette 1.5-point favorite and a total of 142.5. We were talking about USA and Canada yesterday. Told you guys how much I love overtime in that game, and that hit. If you want a game maybe to go to overtime tonight or this weekend, I think this would be your candidate. We got another close spread at minus 1.5, and it feels like Villanova, whenever they go up against the top teams in the Big East in Philly, the spreads are always the same. St. John's game was 1.5. The Creighton game was 2.5. The UConn game is 1.5. All these games are like the same spread, and the games tend to always be close and come down to the wire, and they tend to be lower scoring for the most part. So I think this is going to be another game that's going to be too close to call. I'm staying away from the side, but if you want a fun little sweat, I think overtime's the way to go in Villanova and Marquette. Then we got a big one out in the Big Ten, the Battle of Michigan, number 14 Michigan Wolverines against the number 14 Michigan State Spartans against the number 12 Michigan Wolverines. Wolverines are favored by 2.5 in the game with a total of 150.5. To be honest with you guys, I kind of think both these teams are a little bit overrated, but I think Michigan State more so, and they're coming off two big wins against Purdue and Illinois, who again, I think two teams, I think everybody kind of in the Big Ten's a little overrated except for Wisconsin and Maryland, who I think are playing as well as anybody in that league right now. I just think Michigan being at home, I think they take care of business tonight. The number is going to be key in this game. I'm starting to see some 3.5s pop up on BetMGM. If you have a 3.5, I'd probably stay away or maybe just bet Michigan in a money line parlay piece. But if you can get them under the possession at -2, -2.5, I think that's a good bet with Michigan. But I think they take care of business tonight at home. Then, starting tomorrow, another SEC battle. Number 6 Tennessee going up against number 7 Texas A&M. I was expecting A&M to be the favorite in this game, but early lines are showing that Tennessee is actually a 2.5-point favorite. That line to me seems way off. I would not be surprised if this game ends up closing as a pick 'em. I think A&M should be the favorite in this game. Now, both teams are pretty much the same. Both teams are elite defensively. They're great rebounding teams. And for teams that really do not shoot the ball well, both shoot more three-pointers than they probably should. It's tough to beat A&M, though, in College Station. And Tennessee, when you go on the road, especially in SEC play, you better be able to make shots. They just don't do that enough consistently. So if this is one of those games where Tennessee shoots the lights out, then so be it. Against that A&M defense, though, I am not trusting it. So I will take A&M plus the 2.5 against Tennessee. Then we have Oregon at number 11, Wisconsin. That's going to be a good game tomorrow in Madison. Look, the stock right now and the perception around Wisconsin is sky high. There's no value on the Badgers at this point. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. Their offense is absolutely on fire, and they're going up against an Oregon team that's desperate for a big-time win. The Ducks are about an 8 seed right now. They're pretty comfortably in to March Madness if the season ended today. But this was a team that had a 5-game losing streak in conference play not too long ago. They have ripped off 3 straight games. I think Oregon can keep this game close with Wisconsin. Keep in mind, they were up double digits at Michigan State a couple weeks ago. They played Michigan really tough in Ann Arbor as well. They won at Iowa. Now they've been hanging around the Midwest. They get a red-hot Wisconsin team. Everybody's going to be on the Badgers tomorrow. I would look at Oregon plus the points. Top 10 matchup in the Big 12, number 8 Iowa State against number 5 Houston. I thought this game was going to be like 9.5, 10.5. I'm seeing some 7.5s right now for Houston. That, to me, feels a little low. And in a top 10 matchup, even with that many points, I think a lot of people are going to be taking the underdog. Houston's so tough to beat in general, especially when they're at home. Two really good defensive teams. I would look at taking Houston minus 7.5 against Iowa State. Then we have number 18 Clemson on the road tomorrow, taking on SMU. This is going to be one of your games where you have an unranked home team in SMU that's probably going to be favored against Clemson. Now, the only thing that would make me a little nervous about SMU is that there are three clear-cut teams in the ACC this year that are in their own tier. It's Duke, Clemson, and Louisville. Those have been the three best teams in the league all year. SMU's already played the Cardinals and Duke at home this season, and they have gotten blown out in both of those games. So every team is different. Matchups are different. Clemson isn't quite the same as Duke or Louisville. It does make me a little bit nervous, though, that SMU has played those two teams at home and has lost by 25 or more in both of those games. With all that being said, if I had to bet the game, don't think I will. I would lean towards SMU tomorrow. Then we got number 17, Kentucky, taking on number 4, Alabama. Spread's going to be about 7.5, 8.5. With Kentucky nowadays, probably would be smart to wait until closer to tip-off because they have a lot of injuries right now to their backcourt. Their starting two point guards have not played the last two games in Lamont Butler and Jackson Robinson. I really like the under tomorrow in Alabama and Kentucky, and I know it's tough to say that you really like an under between both those teams, but I think the spot's great for it. Again, because of the injuries that Kentucky has to their backcourt, I think that's good for us. The fact that in their last two games, Alabama's been down 9-0 to Auburn and 12-0 to Missouri. They give up 94 to the Auburn Tigers and 110 to the Missouri Tigers. So Bama's defense has not been good this past week. And I think coming back home, I think Nate Oates has ripped into him the last couple days. I would expect a good defensive performance out of Bama, and 177.5 is a lot of points, you guys. This game could be 88-80, and we're still comfortably under the total. So I'm going under 177.5 in Bama and Kentucky. Then we got Duke taking on Illinois tomorrow at MSG. Duke right now looking like a 10.5-point favorite. Here's what I'll say about the game. The longer that Illinois can keep this closer against Duke, I think you start looking at some Illinois money line against the Blue Devils. Again, Duke's only played four games this year that have been decided by 6 points or less, and they've lost three of those games. They're not used to people hanging around with them for all 40 minutes. The longer that Illinois can keep this close, the better chance they have at pulling off the upset. So I think they could be worth a live look tomorrow on the money line if they can keep it close with Duke. We have number 15, Missouri, taking on Arkansas tomorrow. I would expect Arkansas to be a favorite against Mizzou. That's going to be a really stinky line. Mizzou's coming off that massive win against Bama. I would look at Arkansas tomorrow. St. Mary's taking on Gonzaga. The Zags really haven't beaten anybody good all year. Probably going to be about 6.5, 7.5-point favorites tomorrow against St. Mary's. I think they're a good money line parlay piece tomorrow looking at the Zags. And then finally on Sunday, we have UConn taking on St. John's at MSG. It's going to be a big game. I think I have made the most money on St. John's this season by just fading them at home in the first half and betting on them on the road in the first half. St. John's is going to be at home on Sunday, so I'll be taking UConn plus the points in the first half against St. John's. All right, real quick, let's talk some baseball as we preview the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that I like quite a bit coming in to this upcoming season. And look, the Phillies, their win total is at 91.5. We were talking about the Mets yesterday. They're at 92.5. I honestly think it's crazy that the Mets are projected to win more games than the Phillies for the upcoming season. I get that they play in the same division. I get that the Mets beat them in the playoffs last year. I understand that Juan Soto, they got him in the offseason as well. I just think the Phillies are built better in the regular season and can withstand more injuries and are more battle-tested over 162 than the New York Mets are. And it starts with their starting pitching. They still got Zach Wheeler. They still got Aaron Nola. Ranger Suarez was really good for much of the season last year. So I think the Phillies' starting pitching is much better. I like their bullpen better as well. And I still like their lineup better. We were talking about the Mets yesterday. A lot of guys had great second halves of the season, and they had a lot of great numbers in the postseason. Does that carry over, though, to this new season? Can they do it again? There are a lot of guys in that Phillies order that have been doing it for a long time. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber. These guys have been doing it a while. JT Realmuto. So I like the makeup of this Phillies team. I think the National League right now, everybody's talking about the Dodgers. They're the reigning champs. They spend a bajillion dollars. The Braves are having all these guys coming back from injury. The Mets were a great story last year, and they get the prize possession of the offseason. It just feels like there's so much talk about these other teams that we're all forgetting how good the Philadelphia Phillies are. So I think there's a lot of value on Philadelphia. I like their win total, over 91.5 wins. I like them to win the National League at plus 650 this year. And I would also look at the winning division in the National League to come out of the NL East at plus 325, because I don't think the Dodgers are going to the World Series this year. I think it's going to be one of the teams out of the East. I think it's the Phillies. Certainly wouldn't shock me if it was the Braves. And if it ends up being the Mets, I don't think it will be. But if it is, then it is. But I think it's probably going to be the Braves or the Phillies. I like the Phillies better. So don't sleep on the Phils. A lot of people talking about all these other teams in the National League. Philly's going to be really good yet again in 2025. All right, let's go to the Lions Den. Check in with Matt Horner, who joins us. Give Matt a follow on X at @sharp_side_BetMGM network writer. Matt, obviously got a lot of college basketball on Saturday. A couple of games tonight. But first, any games that you like in the NBA tonight?
Yeah, so I don't generally bet the NBA, but Lucy does over on site, and I'm tailing her tonight with the Wizards +5.5. The Bucks have just been awful at covering spreads in this spot. They're 3-7 ATS in their last 10 games, 17-21-1 as a favorite, and just 11-16 ATS on the road. They've been horrible. They're taking on the Wizards. Obviously, the Wizards are a terrible NBA team. They have 9 wins this season, but they are 6-4 ATS in their last 10 games. And with a spread just 5.5 with a win differential, as crazy as this, I mean, 30 wins versus 9, seems really short to me. The Lions moved from 7 to 5.5, some really sharp money coming on the Wizards. So I went ahead and tailed Lucy here with the Wizards at +5.5 tonight.
I like it. Yeah, that game definitely caught my attention too. Wizards only 5.5-point dogs. That definitely is fishy. What about tonight in college basketball, Matt? Anything you like in Marquette, Villanova, Michigan, Michigan State, or anything else on the board tonight?
Yeah, so Marquette Villanova took the under 142.5 in this game. These two teams played each other earlier this year. Marquette came away with an 87-74 win in that game. Very high scoring, 161 points scored in that game. That's nearly 20 points higher than what we have here listed at 142.5. I think a lot of people are going to see that, and they're going to think maybe this could be a high scoring game. I don't see it. 16 games against the Big East this year, Villanova has scored 80-plus in just 2 of them. This season, and Marquette is just a notorious under team. They are 2-8 to the under in their last 10 games. And overall this season, like I just said, they've just been an under team. So I like the under at 142.5 in the game. And another one tonight that's kind of like off the radar, Penn moneyline tonight against Dartmouth. The Quakers have lost 8 of their last 10 games overall. Just 6-16 overall this season. Dartmouth has won and covered in 4 straight games, and yet Penn is a favorite against Dartmouth. I think there's a reason for that. So give me Penn on the money line against Dartmouth.
All right, very good. And then Matt obviously got a loaded slate tomorrow in college hoops. We have some of the lines that have dropped so far, so we got an idea what some of these spreads could be. But about in a minute or so, what are some games that you have your eyes on for tomorrow?
Yeah, so 2 of them caught my eye immediately. I took Texas A&M on the money line. I think you were just talking about this against Tennessee. Aggies are off that blowout loss to Mississippi State. They only scored 54 points. Tennessee's off that win against Vanderbilt. Just a classic bounce back spot for A&M here at home. I really like them, so I took Texas A&M on the money line. And a really, really funny spread, Oklahoma on the money line against Mississippi State. The Sooners are 3-7 in their last 10 games. They've lost 5 straight and have failed to cover in every single one of them. They've just been playing a terrible brand of basketball, and they're a pick'em with that Mississippi State team that's coming off a huge blowout win over a top 10 team. That's crazy to me. So get me Oklahoma here on the money line against Mississippi State.
Yeah, that certainly is going to be an interesting one. Again, I think that Arkansas-Missouri game, too, could be an interesting one tomorrow. Oh. So keep an eye out for that. Matt Horner joining us here on Send It In. Give Matt a follow on X at @sharp_side_BetMGM network writer. Been killing it in college basketball. Matt, good luck to you tonight and over the weekend, sir. We'll talk again next week.
Sure thing. Thanks, BJ.
You got it. All right, guys, let's wrap the show. Wrap up the week here on Send It In. I'm going to be on You Better You Bet at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with Femi, so make sure you guys check us out there from 3 to 7. But my favorite plays for the day. My prop lock is going to be the Phillies over 91.5 wins. Guys, I like the Phillies this season, man. I just think we're all undervaluing them. All the attention that the Mets are getting and the Dodgers and the Braves. Phillies were a really good baseball team last year, and they essentially have all those dudes coming back, and they're probably pissed with the way that the season ended against the Mets, so I like the Phillies over 91.5 wins. Dog of the day is going to be Loyola Chicago tonight, +1.5 against Dayton. I like Loyola as a dog, as a home dog in this game. I think they're going to win it outright, so I like Loyola Chicago +1.5, and then give me Michigan tonight, -2.5 against Michigan State. Should be a really good game in the Big Ten. Should be a great atmosphere tonight at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. I just think Michigan's the better team. They've been playing a lot of teams tight in league play. So if you just want to bet Michigan money line, I totally understand. But I think anything under 3, a good bet with Michigan tonight, laying them -2.5. Once again, Phillies over 91.5 wins going to be our prop lock. Loyola Chicago +1.5 against Dayton's our dog of the day. Give me Michigan -2.5 against Michigan State. Thanks again to Shane Jackson, Matt Horner for joining me today on the show. I'll see you guys on YBYB at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And if I don't see you there, have a great rest of your weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.